Christ is the foundation, when we may build upon some with hay and stubble, some with precious stones. But on that day when we stand before Him, we'll receive for the life we live. For then the fire will try it. What is the will reveal? Don't be left standing in the ashes before the Lord. Just reborn. And some will suffer loss to receive no reward at all. Don't be left standing in the ashes before the Lord. When we walk, we should walk in the Spirit. Let our lives lift up Christ before all. When we give, we should give because we love Him, not for man's applause. That on that day we would be left standing, having lived our life in vain. We'll look on the face of our Savior and know the price He paid. Don't be left standing in the ashes before the Lord. For everyone shall receive their just reward. Some will suffer loss to receive no reward at all. Don't be left standing in the ashes before the Lord. And some will suffer loss to receive no reward at all. Don't be left standing in the ashes before the Lord.
All right, good evening. Always appreciate the opportunities to fill in for Pastor. I was kind of wondering, you know, as we get ready for our revival this week, this upcoming month, if other churches are just as excited about when Pastor Merritt goes to preach there, I wonder if they have the same excitement that we get when we have good pastors and preachers come and join us. I pray that that's the case. So tonight's Master's Club, of course, and you know when Pastor's out, we always have men fill in while he's gone. And Brother Burr sometimes adjusts the schedule, and he lets the teachers know, hey, we've got you know one of the men preaching, so we may need to wrap up early. I thought it would be fun just to play the piano at like 7:45, just to kind of see how they would respect. if you got your Bible with you, let's go ahead and stand and turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 this evening. We're just going to read two verses to get us going. And the first two verses, this is a familiar passage this evening. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, the Bible reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, this is where we're going to be spending the bulk of our time this evening. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Brother Hubbard, sir, would you please open us in prayer? Amen. Thank you for standing for the Word of God. So I don't have I often don't do titles, and I'm not the greatest at introductions, but our title tonight is going to be The Need for Renewing Your Mind. Very original. It comes right out of our text in verse 2. And as I was kind of pondering the introduction, and through Bible Institute, you know, the pastor says the introduction should be the last part of the message. And I wasn't intentionally trying to tie this into our theme, but it's going to kind of tie into the idea of rekindling your flame, rekindling the flame by renewing our mind and renewing our thinking. And we're going to look at verse 2 for this thought tonight. We're going to spend our time there. Paul, writing here to the church of Romans, the churches of Rome, says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." It says, be not conformed to this world. The word conform there, Noah's 1828, says to make like in an external appearance, to reduce to a like shape or form with something else, to conform anything to a model. More generally, to reduce to a likeness or correspondence in manners, opinions, or moral quality. So it goes beyond just taking the shape, but it also adds in there manners, opinions, moral quality. So he says, do not be conformed to this world. God desires us to be conformed. God desires us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Romans 8:29, we won't turn there. We should for the sake of time, but we won't. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." So God desires us to be conformed. He wants us to take the image. He just doesn't want us to take the image of the world around us. The world in this passage is simply the environment of which we live in. Turn over to Matthew chapter 13, if you will. Matthew 13. The Greek word here that we found in Romans chapter 12 is the same one that we find here in Matthew chapter 13. And if you jump down in verse 40, well, actually 37. This is Jesus explaining to the disciples the parable of the sowers. And Jesus said, and he answered unto them, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of God, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore are the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world." So it's just the environment of which we live in. It's not necessarily the wicked children, as the Bible says. It's just simply the environment which we're surrounded by. So he's saying, don't be conformed to the image around you. So what happens when we're left in the world, when we're left in an environment? Many of you know, if you don't, I work in the mental health clinic here on base. And a lot of the times, anything that's negative or bad on base, we deal with it. Suicides, DUIs, domestic abuse. And after a while, my perception, if I'm left in that environment too long, can be very jaded and very dark because that's all I see. Just like many of you, security forces, I know that's their world. They send most of those people to us. And everyone else in there, everyone has an environment of which they live in. You know, maintainers, cops, even folks here in the church. Remember, this passage is written to the church. And so, even us church folks, you know, if we live a separated, sanctified life, we can be conformed, we can be molded, fashioned, shaped to the image of the world of which we live in. And that could be here at the church. It could be in our home. It could be with the people that we hang out with. We can be conformed to those that are around us. And if you remember our definition, it says, to reduce to a likeness or correspondence in manners, opinions, or moral qualities. And many times, if we're left in an environment unchecked, just left alone, we're going to conform to those things that are around us. Hopefully, that environment is a godly environment. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, follow me as I follow Christ." Saying, follow me, I'm not the mold, I'm not the pattern, but follow me because I'm following Christ and I'm following the Scriptures. But because of our nature, because of our sinful nature, many times we just simply take on the form around us. And we conform to the situations and things that we're exposed to. And there's a danger to that. Because what happens over time, we're no longer conformed to the image of God's Son. We're conformed to those that are around us. And if those people aren't following Christ, then our views aren't going to be God's views anymore. They're not going to be aligned with what the Scriptures have to say. They're just going to be aligned with what the church says, or what my Sunday school class says, or what my teen class says. You know, she just turned 13, and she's a budding teenager, a millennial in the purest forms. And she doesn't have a desire to hang out with her uncle. I'm kind of boring these days, and I don't blame her. I don't want to hang out with myself either. But but if she's only influenced by the people that she talks to, who is she going to be conformed to? She's going to be conformed to her friends, her peers. She doesn't have social media, praise the Lord for that, so she's not conformed to that, but she's conformed to the environment in which she surrounds herself, and that's exactly what happens to us. And Paul said in Romans chapter 12, be not conformed to this world. Let's see if I can get back over there. Be not conformed to this world. It was never God's plan for us to join a church and conform to church members. It was never his plan for us to conform to those that are around us. It says to be conformed not to this world, not to the environment of which we live. He says, but be ye transformed. So we're supposed to become something that we never were before. That transformation that Paul is talking about is the same word as you find that Jesus, when he was transfigured, to become something that you never were before. So we're not supposed to be conformed, but we're supposed to be transformed. And many times as we're left in that environment, we become that environment. We become the things that are around us, and we're no longer something new. We're not something different. We're just like everything else that surrounds us. So we need to be transformed, transfigured. This passage, of course, as I mentioned earlier, was written to churches. It was written to Christians, to saved, baptized believers. When we're saved, we become new creatures in Christ. Old things pass away, all things become new. God gives us a new heart. He gives us a new set of passions, a new set of desires, a new set of want-tos, as Pastor always says. But over time, we start to become conformed to the things that are around us. And then we are no longer different. And that Bible says, by the renewing of your mind. That renewing is a continual process. It's something that we continually need to do. We need to continually be renewing. If you think about renewing, you have to renew your car registration, which of course that comes through a state inspection. Someone else rummages through your car and tells you all the things that are wrong with it and makes you fork over, you know, tons of cash if you drive an older vehicle. And that's what God needs to do us. He needs to search us. He needs to inspect us and tell us exactly what we need to change so that we can be renewed. We can be restored. So we need to be renewed. And it's a continual process. In our lives, we can find ourselves in different processes of that renewing. We can find ourselves just being renewed and refreshed and rekindled and being transformed by the Word of God. We can find ourselves in need of registration, renewing, maybe expired, and we've been sitting out in the environment a little too long and a little rusty, need to put some air in the tires, we need to comb some things out of our life. Or we could just be, you know, with our heels planted in the ground saying, I'm not going anywhere. I refuse to get right, but we all find ourselves in every sermon, in every Sunday school lesson, in every devotion, everything that we hear, we're in a different stage of renewing. And depending on our response to the Word of God just means where we are and how long we stay in those stages or phases is also dependent upon us. It's a choice. God gave us a new heart. When we repented and we called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save us, He gave us a new spirit and a new want to, new desires. But this is up to us. It says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to do it. We have to renew ourselves. We have to do something. We have to renew our mind. So whether I choose to renew my mind daily, whether I choose to renew my mind weekly, quarterly, monthly, every day, it's all up to us. And so we just need to find ourselves, where are we in this process? Where are we in, are we being conformed to the world around us? Or are we being conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ? And the question that I ask is how do you know if you need to be renewed? How do you know if you're to a point in your life where I need to be renewed by transforming my mind, by renewing my mind with God? And it's a pretty simple illustration. I've used this at Hope before when talking about sin and how, you know, in salvation we look at sin differently. You know, if a submarine is underneath the water, it's traveling blind. I'm going to walk down here so those guys have to follow me and chase me around. A submarine's underwater and it's traveling through. It doesn't have any windows. It doesn't have any. It has sonar. And that sonar sends out a signal, and that signal hits something and it comes back. And then they interpret it and they decide, oh, that's a fish or a boat or whatever it may be. And we do the exact same thing. You know, light comes in the brain, we send it out, we come back, and then we interpret things. So I see Brother Kirby sitting here and I look at him. Okay, he's Brother Kirby. He's got a blue tie. He's got a beard, glasses. That's what I see. But when I see the world around me, what's my response? You know, when I see fire trucks flying down the highway, do I go, man, they're moving pretty fast? Or do I see it and go, I wonder if someone's hurt? Should I pray for them? When I see lost people, you know, we heard, you know, Brother Austin's message about lost people. Do I just go, oh, there's people at Walmart. Move on. So what do I see? So what signals am I receiving when I look at the world around me? When I receive those signals, what exactly am I interpreting? Do I see things that are, do I just automatically make blanket statements and go, well, you know, they made that decision before, I'm not surprised. Well, they're doing the same thing over again. I told them not to. We had a Bible study. I showed them out of the Word of God. Don't do this. Well, I'm not surprised at all. Or does it break our heart? Do we get sad over sin? Do we get heartbroken? Do we weep for those that are around us? You know, we see disasters and different things. You know, we saw, you know, the Pittmans, their family in Perryville had some struggles with the tornadoes. Praise the Lord, they're all safe. But did we pray? Did we go, oh, that's sad, and then just go about our day and just continue swiping through or clicking whatever tablet? You know, when we look at the world around us, are we responding as the world does, or are we responding to the environment of which we're conformed to, or are we responding the way that our Lord responds? And if your radar, if your reception, if you're not interpreting things through the lens of the Word of God, you're in need of renewing. You're in need of tuning that and saying, okay, God, I'm not seeing things clearly. I'm not seeing things the way that you do. And the more we spend time in our environment is just that. I mentioned my job and suicides because many times, you know, when we hear a suicide, we go, was it one of our patients? You know, many times the concern is, how does this affect me? How does this person's decision, how is this going to impact my day? And that's many times our response. When someone does something or we see something, we go, is this going to inconvenience me in some way? Is this going to put a stumbling block? Am I required to do something now? And many times in the people that we deal with, because sin brings problems, sin brings chaos, it brings issues. And what's our response? Are we heartbroken or going, oh great, now I have to do something. Now I have to respond. Now I'm going to have to alter my day because of this person. And when we deal with witnessing especially, they've got questions. Well, why are they still asking questions? We went through Romans Road, we went through the gospel, we went through this, and they still got questions. I got stuff to do. I got places to go. Or do we go, okay, maybe the Lord's working on their heart. Maybe now they're ready to receive what Christ did on their behalf. Do we see that, or do we just see how sin impacts us? What lens are we filtering things through? Are we filtering it through the world, our own set of filters, or are we seeing it through the Word of God? John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That word sanctify means two things: to filter, to purify, and to set apart. So we're supposed to be sanctified through the Word of God. and then separate. So we're supposed to be purified through here, cleansed, removed, and then be able to see things through the Word of God. So that's the idea. That's when we know that we're in need of renewing, is when we no longer see things the way that God does, and we see things through the lenses of our coworkers, of our family, of our friends, of our environment that we're in. And it's a dangerous place, because many times, you know, as you think about the church family and the people we hang out with, we don't want to correct our friends. We don't want to tell the people that are around us they're wrong, because we don't want to be told we're wrong. And so we leave things just unchecked, unbridled, just unrestrained. And we become complacent and content with sin, with a way of thinking, with a philosophy. And many times it's those that are closest to that we become conformed to. And the closer you are to someone, the less you want to say, hey, we shouldn't talk about this. We shouldn't be involved in this conversation. And it can impact all of us. We can all find ourselves sliding scale. You know, we frustrate each other, if we're honest. We do things that annoy each other. We get bothered from time to time. As much time as we spend around each other. We work with one another. We work with kids. Kids are a challenge in their own world. They do their own decisions sometimes. Sometimes we can see parents through kids and be like, man, what are the parents doing? Why is this kid down here running around doing all these different things? And now we can start blaming the kid, or we can start blaming the parents. We can start looking at the environment around us and being influenced by it. And then, you know, we're Baptists, we have to talk, so we can't keep things to ourselves, so we share it with someone, and they go, yeah, you're right. And now they're being conformed to the image and to the mold that I just set forth. That's the world that we live in. We live in this church. We live in our homes. We're all separated. We all hang out. We have homeschool activities. Most of us don't fellowship outside of here, which is a good thing. But if we're not careful, we're no longer conformed to what God has for us. We're conformed to us and to ourselves. And it's a slippery, slippery road. So how do we be renewed? What part do we need to be renewed by? And our Bible in Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." The mind is where all of our thoughts and our decisions are born. The mind has our thoughts. Our thoughts dictate our feelings. Our feelings then govern our decisions, and then our decisions follow, our actions are then preceded by our decisions, if I think that was right. But our thoughts, feelings, decisions, actions. So our thoughts, what we think about, is going to impact the way we feel. The way that I feel about something is going to govern my decision. And the decision I make, of course, is going to be demonstrated through actions. So this is why just conforming doesn't work. It can be easy to conform to anything. It can be easy to just play along. It can be easy to put a suit and a tie on and come to church. It can be easy to show up to visitation. You know, we all want to fit in. I look at the little kids and the teens, you know, they want to fit in with one another, so they'll get the skirts and they'll get, you know, the ties and the bow ties, I guess, is the in thing now. Because they want to fit in. So they conform. They look at the environment around them and go, I want to fit in with these people, so what do I have to do? I have to look like them. And so then they start doing what those people are doing. You know, they're following their morals, their opinions, their values. But that's simply just it. It's just conforming to the environment. It's not a renewing. Because they still have the same heart and they still have the same desires, but they're just driven by a need for conforming. A renewing mind, our thoughts align with God. Our thoughts align with what the Bible has to say, what the Scriptures say. And it's no longer just an outward conformity. It's a renewing spirit. It's a, what do my notes say? That's a lot more thoughtful on here than what I'm saying. What a renewing of the mind does, our thoughts align with how God sees things, and it is no longer outward conformity, but is an inner drive to be right with Him. I knew that was better. It's no longer just an outward conformity. We want to be right with Him. We want to do what God has to say. So my dress standards are no longer dictated by me just wanting to fit in, to be like everyone else. It's because I read God's word and I know it, and I heard the pastor preach and I was convicted, and so I want to be right with him. So I'm going to change what I'm doing because I have a renewed spirit. I come out to visitation because I want to see souls won. I want to come to men's prayer because I want to pray before God, and I really want God to move during service. You know, they just started ladies' prayer on Sunday mornings. Praise the Lord for that. What's the reason for going? Are we conforming? Are we just going, well, pastor says we got to do this, so let's get our stuff and go downstairs? Or do we really want God? Are we thankful for the opportunity to, hey, we've got ladies' prayer. We can go down there and pray together and ask God to bless and move and work in the service. Or are we just conforming? It's so easy to conform because we can't, collectively, we think that other people don't know, but we can tell. Other people can tell when we're just going through the motions and we're checking boxes, and we know ourselves. There's no joy in it. We just check boxes, and sometimes we leave frustrated, sometimes we leave unchanged. But it's an opportunity to really get involved when we have that renewed spirit and see things the way God sees things. So it's not just a conforming, it's a renewed spirit, renewing of our thinking, renewing how we view things, because the only way we're going to see things is by seeing the way God sees things, which is in His Word. So how does one renew the mind? You know, if you read through verses 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It doesn't tell us how to do that. It just says this is a reasonable service. This is what should be. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it doesn't tell us how, but there's plenty of scripture and there's plenty of passages that talk about having a relationship with God. You know, pray, read your Bible, hide thy word in my heart, put on the whole armor of God, be sober, be diligent. So there's a lot of different scriptures that kind of encompass this idea of renewing your mind. But I think one really kind of gets this point across, and that's over in Joshua. Another familiar passage, Joshua chapter 1. We'll turn there. So the renewing of our mind is the purpose is to see things the way that God sees things, And to become something that we weren't before. Joshua chapter 1, if I didn't tell you that. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible reads, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, thou goest. Doesn't matter how many times I read these things, I still can't pronounce it correctly. So the Bible says in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That word shall not depart, to withdraw from, to cease. We're not to cease from the law. We're not supposed to withdraw from the Word of God. And then it goes on to say, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Meditate means to dwell on, to think about, to ponder. Well, what are we pondering? What are we meditating on? What are we thinking about? The law, the Word of God. So we're spending time, dedicated, set apart time, just dwelling and meditating on God's Word. A thought. You know, reading a Proverbs a day, there's usually a good thought for life that day. It points out something that, you know, usually is something that's going on in our life. And we can think about that. We can ponder it on our drive to work. When we have a quiet time, where we can sit there and ponder and really go, how does this verse affect me? How does this verse apply to me? What am I going to do with this verse today? You know, when you have the Word of God in you, it compels us to do right. You know, I loved Pastor's message on the holiness of God when he talked about what made that area where Moses and the burning bush was holy was because God was dwelling there and God dwells with us. That's a life-changing truth, because if you really think about that thought, that God dwells with you, and because of that, it's a holy place, you're going to act differently. Amen. We act differently when we come here because this is a sanctified, set apart, but we often, because we're coming here. But we go day in and day out conforming to this world. We no longer think that ourselves are holy. But the reality is God dwells with us. We are a holy, holy person because of God's indwelling. If you meditate on that, if you really think about that, that's going to shape the way that you think. It's going to shape the way that you respond. So the Bible says that thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So it's not just one part of the day. Thou shalt meditate in the morning. Thou shalt meditate at night before you go to bed. It says day and night. We're supposed to ponder this. And now I get, we have busy lives. You know, we're going to and from and serving the church and job and family, trying to fit everything. It can be very hectic. Sundays can be hectic. Wake up, you know, come to church, Sunday school, choir, all the different things that we got to do. Not much time to meditate, because we choose not to meditate. We don't arrange our schedule to be conformed to the world. We take our time to be conformed to the world around us, but not to meditate on the Word of God. Think about anything that's left out in the world. If you leave an old, I was using a car earlier. If you leave an old truck out in a field for a week, how much work is it going to take to get it running and going? Probably not much effort. You leave that thing out there for a couple weeks, maybe you got to charge the battery. You let it sit out there, maybe the tires will rot out. So the longer it's exposed and left in the world, the more work it's going to take to restore that to what it was to begin with. Same thing with our lives. The more time that we spend out in the world, away from God, away from God's people, away from the preaching of God's word, the more it's going to take to bring us back up to where we need to be. And so if you compare the amount of time that we spend in the world compared to the time that we spend meditating, often wonder maybe that's why we struggle so much and we fail to see the world through God's eyes, because we're more influenced by the world and more conformed to the image of that than we are to God, because the exposure rate's completely different. It says we're supposed to meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all according, to do according to all that is written therein. That thou mayest observe, that word observe, adhere to practice all that is written therein. There's a lot that's written in this book. And if we look at how we talked about the mind, how our thinking drives our thoughts and our decisions and then our actions, the latter part of this verse says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. It's only after meditation, it's only after keeping the word of God, it's only after spending time dwelling with God, then are we going to have a prosperous life. Then will we have good success. So it's only, that part only comes after we spend time with God. If we don't spend time with God, we're not going to have a prosperous journey. It's going to be filled with you know, the world's going to be drama, the world's going to have chaos, and it's going to be what it is, but our response to it, the way that we see it, the way that we react, is going to be different. And it won't be, if we respond the way that the world does, it's not going to be prosperous. It's not going to be a good success. So we need to make sure that we're spending that time with God so we do have that prosperous response. Then verse 9, if not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. How do you adopt those values? How do you trust in God if you don't spend time with Him? How do you trust in God? How do you have courage in the Lord if you don't meditate on it and you don't see it through God's eyes? The only way you could be of a good courage in times of trial and times of sickness and loss and grief and disparity is when you spent time with God and you're seeing things through His eyes, seeing things the way that you do. Otherwise, you would be conformed to the world that's around you. So Joshua 1:8 kind of spells out that recipe for how to renew your mind. And of course, the end goal of all this is back over in Romans chapter 12. You know, I joked about the time, and I'm watching the clock up here, and I'm going a little fast. I might get my wish after all. Romans chapter 12. Verse 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That word "prove" in this passage means to discern, to test, to examine. So all along we're renewing ourselves, we're spending time with God, we're meditating on His Word. And then we're taking those principles and we're applying them to our lives and becoming something that we never were before. And the Bible says, and God says, to prove, to test, to examine, to show. Saying, if you do all these things, it's going to show, it's going to be evidenced by God's perfect will. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The will of God is it means different things to different people. You know, we often say that we're in the will of God, and the only person that really know that is ourselves individually. So that God has different wills for all of us at different times in our life. Of course, He wills that we all should come to repentance and be saved. He wills that we all should be baptized and join a church. But beyond that, God has different wills. So one of His wills that we talked about says that we might be conformed to the image of His Son. That's a will for God. God's will for our lives, that we may be conformed to the image of His Son. That's not a call for a preacher or leading to a ministry. That's for every one of us, that we may be conformed to the image of His Son. But then also, the perfect will of God is God's plan for us. I taught the teens this past week about how God has a specific plan. He knew Jeremiah. Jeremiah was predestined, you know, before he was even born, to be a preacher, to be a prophet. Saul was predestined to suffer. So a lot of different areas God has a will for us, but I'll ask you this. Can you discern God's plan for you if you're not walking with Him? Can you really see God's will? If you can't see the world the way God wants you to see it, how are you able to discern in what God wants for us individually? How can we discern what God wants me to do if I can't even see the things that are around me? If I can't have God's leading to witness to somebody, God's direction to help somebody out, you know, physically, financially, help out with food if there's a sickness or a suffering. If I'm not sensitive to God's leading in the most basic things that we can see, how am I going to know what God wants for me? One of my favorite stories in the Bible is Isaac and Abraham. You know, and I think about that a lot because, you know, he bound him up and he was there on the altar, and Isaac and Abraham's got that knife and he's about ready to sacrifice his son. Now, Abraham probably could have muscled this kid down and tied him up. You know, I don't know what Isaac's response was. He goes, "Man, this guy's crazy. He's got a knife. He's about to slaughter me. I don't trust him." But that's not his response. We find out later on he's willing to allow his father to trust him to choose his bride. Abraham had a relationship with God enough to where he was able to communicate to his kids to understand the perfect will of God for their life. Do we have that? Do we have that relationship with God where we're able to discern what God wants for me? So when you say, "Hey, we're moving. Hey, we're packing up. Hey, we're changing jobs. Hey, we're going to get involved in this ministry. Hey, we're going to invite these people over to our house. Are we sure about that? They look kind of shifty. They look kind of strange. We don't know them. I don't know anything about them, but are you sure we're supposed to have these people over to our house?" Do we have that relationship with God and sensitive enough to His leading to where we're able to respond and react the way that God wants us to? And the only way we could do that is if we have a renewed thinking, if we have a renewed spirit, a renewed mind. And that renewed mind, of course, is spending time with God, meditating on His Word, meditating on the passages in the Scriptures. When God convicts us or speaks to us in a sermon, during a missions conference, during a revival, when we take that information and we just dwell on it for a while, and we pray. That's how we have that renewed mind. That's how we are no longer conformed. And then the more time we spend with God, the more time we become conformed to the image of His Son and less to the environment around us. You know, we're supposed to be a light in this world. We're supposed to influence those that are around us, not the other way around. You know, Him that is greater in you is greater than the spirit that's around us. We're supposed to be able to take what Christ did in us and be different. We're supposed to be transformed. But if we don't allow God to transform us by spending time with Him, spending time in His Word, then we're not going to have that success. We're not going to have the will that God has for all of us. So by way of application, I got no more notes, so we're just going to have to wrap this up. By way of application, you know, this passage of Scripture, we've all read it, we've seen it many times, and we've kind of, you know, we can kind of glance over the Word of God without really spending time looking up the words and meditating and thinking about them. But the only way that you could really be renewed, the only way you can really have that is if you first, you're given new life by Christ. You can't renew something that has never been made new. And so the first question I'll ask this evening is are you saved? Are you truly saved? Do you know that? Or are you just conforming? Are we playing church? Are we doing the things that we need to because my parents do it or because my peers do it? Are we doing things because God has given us clear direction? Or do we know in our hearts that, hey, I'm not right with God and I'm just conforming to those around Him, but I want to be conformed to the image of His Son through what He did on the cross? And there's no shame in that. There really isn't, because I don't have that testimony, but there's many that have. And say, hey, I was doing this and I got right with God, and praise the Lord for it. There's no shame in it at all. Secondly, you know, praise the, you know, if you're able to keep a renewed mind, if you're able to have that walk with Him, praise the Lord for that. Praise God that you're able to have that time with Him and that you're able to meditate and dwell. Isaac, of course, we talked about him, was when his wife was, or his bride was being brought back, he was out in the field meditating. Another reason why I like that story is he was out spending time with God. He didn't know when they were coming. He was just out there. That was part of his normal routine. And if you're able to have that relationship with God, just praise God that you're able to have it. And maybe pray that God, help me tomorrow to keep this. Because it's a renewing, so we're going to have to continually do it. Pray for the strength and the ability to keep that relationship up. And lastly, maybe you've been conformed to the world that's around you. Maybe the influence of the world is conforming you a little too much, and it's warping your thinking. And you're slipping away from seeing things the way that God sees things, and you're starting to view the world through your coworkers or through other people in the church, and you're allowing that influence to guide and dictate your actions and your thinking. And we're all in this somewhere. We're either being renewed, we're being rebellious, or we're right where we need to be. But anywhere we've got an opportunity to pray and thank God for the work that He's done in our lives. So let's go ahead and stand this evening.